let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Ancient Lights Volume 2, the real deal about the American nation's birth, how the race card evil infiltrated and undermined the American government, is written by Christine and Haywood Isaac. Haywood is a native of Baltimore, Maryland, and alumnus of Coppin State University. Over 40 years of historical research background in the Western world's three major religions and in America's legal and political history. Being the great-grandson of a Cherokee woman and the grandson of a Baptist Christian minister, Haywood spent most of his young adult years researching while becoming a member of groups such as the 5%, Moorish Science Temple of America, Sunni Islam, and Hebrew Judaic Studies for Students. Christine and Isaac, Haywood Isaac, are authors of Ancient Lights Volume 2, The Real Deal About the American Nation's Birth. With us on the program is the co-author, Haywood Isaac. Haywood, welcome to the program, sir. It's great to have you with us.
Good to be here.
You and Christine have put together a remarkable set of volumes here, the two, Volume 1, Volume 2. Talk a little bit about the background. Who inspired you to write about these subjects and subjects that I've never quite seen presented like this before? It's a very enlightening series. Where did this whole concept come from?
Well, actually, the glory must go to the Creator first, naturally. Then my parents, my foreparents, because of their upbringing during the time that I was coming up, we had a lot of respect and for them. Of course, the extended family, and let's not forget the American people that I met along my way in life. The organizations. I owe a note of thanks to those like Moorish Science, because they opened up my mind to things like citizenship, which is very important when we consider calling ourselves Americans and how we behave towards one another. I mean, I've met a lot of enlightened Americans, and they impressed me, and I spent a lot of time trying to straighten out a lot of misconceptions that a lot of us have, and a lot of us don't want to get rid of it, Rick. A lot of us still hold on to antiquated ideas, half-told truths and things like that. We've seen examples of this, very sad examples. Mr. Dylan Roof is one who had a Nazi flag and a Confederate flag together. That's two things are totally different. But he, being young, he didn't know. He didn't understand. And had he had this information that I collected, things probably would have worked out a little bit different for him. He would have been more universal, more cosmopolitan. And he's just one. He's symptomatic of what's going on all across the country with our young people. It happened with me. I was misguided myself. It took years to unravel a lot of this stuff because nobody really wanted to do that type of research. And I stumbled upon it because certain things just didn't gel. You know, certain things I learned in school, they were good. The teachers couldn't cover this comprehensively. That's why I put it together. And you really don't have that type of time to dedicate like this when you have to work and take care of your families and stuff. And I thought that, hey, let me put this together for my grandkids. But I owe a note of thanks to my HVAC instructor, Mr. Dave Shoenadel, descendant of John Marshall, because when we were talking, he told me that maybe what I had wasn't just for my descendants. Maybe it's for the greater society, America. And I said, you know what? I think you got a point. I put this together hoping that they would be straight about things, especially when it came to issues like race and citizenship, especially citizenship. And here we have this. My wife, she was the one that she pushed for this. I think she pushed for it because I got to the point where I was pretty much fed up because people just wanted to argue. They didn't want to go by the facts. And she said, okay, I'm going to push, and she got this done, and here I am. She even got in contact with you guys. So, hey, this is largely her work. I might have done a lot of research, but because of her, America and the world's got this, for better or for worse, like it or not. These are the facts. And that's my inspiration.
Well, we're all the better for it. We really are. You've done such a remarkable job. I mentioned all the decades of thinking, of research. In fact, your whole life, even before you probably even started on this project, was sort of research for what you're doing and asking questions and listening. I mentioned that very background that you have, your wife the same way. And that has to be so important. You jump into this with everything you've got, and she's right there with you with everything she has. So it's a pretty powerful team you put together, isn't it?
Yes, it is. A dream team, for real. Couldn't ask for anybody better.
With us on the program is Christine and Haywood Isaac. Christine is not with us on the program. Haywood is the co-authors of the book. Let's talk about the books that you've written and published. Talk about those. There's the series that we're talking about on the program today. Talk about those.
Okay, well, the series, well, let's deal with volume one, and I'm going to make it really short for full understanding. Where volume two is coming from, the real deal about the American nation's birth, it would be best if they also had volume one, which talks about the race card evil and how it really originated. That goes back to the ancient Mediterranean world. It really, from the Judaic Christian Islamic standpoint, just goes back really to really the little Tower of Babel story. And more specifically, with an argument between the Jewish historians and the Egyptian historians.
Yes.
One said one thing about one party that they didn't like, and then they argued about it. And hence, we came up with the biblical curse on Noah, from Noah on Ham, which was unfortunately used thousands of years later to validate the African slavery program for mercantile purposes. Not because of hatred. See, a lot of us have a misconception that the African slavery program was about hatred. It was not about hatred. It was about money. About control, money. That's the way the game goes. I mean, that's the way it is even now. A lot of things are done for mercantile purposes, for commercial purposes.
Yes.
And I take you from about at least the arguments about the 18th dynasty in Egypt. On up until the beginning of the transatlantic slave trade on the western coast of Africa. Volume 2 takes you from that point of Christopher Columbus's, or actually the Portuguese discovery of America, or the Americas, and then the Columbus voyages, and finally, on behalf of the Portuguese, and then finally, King George III, the British throne, then taking over the eastern seaboard because the Portuguese gave it up and went to South America and the western coast in search of gold.
Yes.
And the British, they saw another type of gold. They saw the natural resources, and they set the 13 colonies up. And I found it remarkable to delve into the problems that the 13 colonies had. One of the major problems that they had was that they were facing the same concept, the race card evil. We faced the same concept. It was called the divine right of kings to rule. And
yes.
they wanted to go along with the mother country, but they got to the point where they said, these intolerable acts, we cannot take this anymore. School covered this part. The school that I went to covered this part when I was in 7th or 8th grade. We went through that. And the colonists got together, and they decided to fight against King George. King George was using African slave trade to intimidate the colonists. He had these outposts all along their borders, and they said, this is a threat, this is a danger. You can't hold people like this. But you know, money and power being what it is, they didn't want to listen. And eventually, the colonists got together, and they rebelled. They made one mistake. They knew they were making a mistake at the time, mind you. And they compromised with evil. And they said, we need to kill the slavery of humans. We need to do this quick, fast, and in a hurry, because it's going to come back to haunt us. And they said, but they needed all 13 of the colonies. They needed all 13. They say all or nothing to go against the crown. And they had a heck of a problem doing that. And the rest is pretty much history. They set the colonies up, the colonies. They became states eventually. but they could not weed out the seeds of the race card evil in this country. I mean, they tried. They tried. They really did. I mean, you'll find a lot of remarkable facts in the second volume. You'll see the battles that they put up. You'll see what they said in the Continental Congress about it. When people tried to inject color into the American government, the founders said, we're not going for that. This is going to be a haven for anybody who is oppressed. That's what they said. Now, anybody else that says anything other than that, they need to get this so that they can know what they said. I give you the sources. There's no question where I got my information from.
Well, and that's the nice thing. You do have it sourced. This is not opinion. This is not that's what right. Haywood thinks. This is what Haywood found through decades of research. So it's there.
It's there. I mean, we can't blame, Rick, we cannot blame our fathers, our grandfathers, white, black, we cannot blame them. You know, and I know, that they didn't have the opportunities of education that a lot of us had, especially during the time of Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. A lot of us, the baby boomers, a lot of us went to school, unless those of us decided to come out of it. We had the opportunity to get educated. A lot of us got caught up in fringe groups in the process. We got a little information, but they were still fringe groups that didn't do a whole lot of research. Some might take issue with me, but again, I'm going to say, if I can dedicate my life to getting this information and you can check it, then somehow we failed. We failed our kids because we should have done this a long time ago. We should have put this stuff out. We're still hearing residuals of misinformation even in this day and time, Rick, without a doubt.
Well, and I'm sure you find that you're still learning and revising and researching as you go through this.
It's going to be a lifetime a process. Yes. Nobody can ever research everything because so many things were going on in the world at that time, like now. So it's fertile ground for anybody that wants to take it
and
further.
And it all ties together. It all ties together, doesn't it? And brings us to where we are today so we can better understand and deal with where we are today by knowing where we came from. Boy, the time is going by so quickly. We're talking with Haywood Isaac. He's the co-author of the book Ancient Lights, Volume 2, The Real Deal About the American Nation's Birth, How the Race Card Evil Infiltrated and Undermined the American Government. I want to talk about the phrase race card evil. Talk about that, and is it different than racism?
It is. See, racism by definition, racism is a system. It is a system that perpetuates inequality, not basically because of color, but because of class. It's a system that says you shall not have, you're the majority, and I'm going to have, and I'm the minority. But they will use the majority to cover up what the minority power brokers have in store for the people, to put it like that. But the race card evil, it's a whole different thing, Rick. It's based on a pure power trip. I'm in power. You should do what I say do. I'm your absolute master. We went through this. You know and I know. Women went through this. Sexism, in Volume 1, I show you the difference. Volume 1 shows you that sexism is using the sex, female gender, plus racism. So sexism is one of the things of the race card evil. It's always based on trying to usurp somebody's labor or energies for the benefit of yourself. And we do this in our households, too. No offense, but I had my own oldest brother tell me, an African once told me, women are not equal to men. And I said, maybe you're right. Maybe they're better. Maybe they can work when they're pregnant, raise families. And we don't seem to be able to do that, we guys. And then they got quiet. They didn't like that. But that's what the race card evil is. I'm better than you based on some concept, be it my money, be it my skin color, be it my gender. And we'll do this and we'll bash and beat others. It's not about color. Look around, you'll see. You got old folks being bashed. You got kids being bashed. You got scholars being bashed. Come on, people. All of that's the same thing, the race card evil. And to understand it fully, you have to actually sift through the records, especially through the scripture, because the scripture tells you this is what it's all about. And for those who are not familiar with volume one, I'm going to just say this. I'm going to say, we always talk about Jesus of Nazareth. We talk about what he came to earth to do. And I think the churches have couched it in too many religious terms. Instead of, if we had read the book, the record said study. The book said study to show yourself approved. If you studied it from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find out that what Jesus came to do was kill that race card evil attitude that his own people, the Jews, had. They didn't want to mess with anybody. They segregated themselves from everybody. They thought they were better than everybody based on feel-good propaganda that Moses had to tell them in order for them to feel like they were worth something at the time that they were freed from the slavery thing. They never got out of it. They went against the Romans in 66 AD and got crushed because of that mindset. You can't tell us what to do. They fought a superpower and lost and got spread all over the place. We see a lot of this, and you see residuals of this, unfortunately, Rick, even in this day and time. And I'm not going to touch on too many people's sentiments, but I heard a program from a young African-American lady that upset me. And she talked about they should burn stuff down. I mean, the sister's misguided, unfortunately. Some of us went through that back in the 60s. That's infrastructure that you, I, her parents, we all we taxpayers, we pay for these businesses. If you burn it, you're burning stuff that you pay your tax dollars for to have to rebuild it again. You cause problems in your own community. You say it's not your community. You live here. Now, if you want to leave, I'm quite sure you need to find out who you can contact and say, let me go to another country. But I suggest before you run there, you find out what I've said in volume two, because you might find out that the same person that you call, like, Rick, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give the public this. You're going to find an interesting fact. I found it interesting. In Ghana, they have a word for us Americans. White, black. They call us all white. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. And then I thought about what Malcolm said when he talked to the ambassador in his autobiography. He said him and the ambassador, when they was like in Africa talking, they came up with the conclusion that the white man was not racist. The system is. They were right, based on my researches, because it was incorporated in there. I clarify a lot of things in this book, like the three-fifth clause. Most black circles talk about, when the founders talked about three-fifths in the Constitution, that they rated us three-fifths of a human being. No, they did not consider those who were slaves human beings at all. So that's the 60% rule that they use because of the land valuation tax that they had. Misconceptions. Yes. We have been mistaught.
There are so many, boy, the time has gone by so quickly. Yes, both volumes of Ancient Lights you'll find at Amazon. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on and get all of the information. I've learned a lot just in the course of this program. Imagine as you sit and read the books and see the results of what Christine and Haywood Isaac have been able to do over the years and put this all together for us and answer a lot of the questions. Again, I keep saying this, but answers that we need now to be able to deal with the problems we're facing now. Hold up the book covers. Just take a second here. Talk about the significance of the book covers.
Well, the first one shows, the volume one shows two silhouette faces with two serpents on it. The one is the symbol of medicine and healing. The bottom one with double serpents that the medical industry usually displays has to deal more with commercialism. Again, back to the race card evil thing.
Yes.
Is something for healing? When somebody comes to you with a doctrine and they start injecting race, is it for healing or is it for commercial purposes? You need to think about that. The two silhouette faces, there's a cup there. They make a cup. What do you see? Is it two faces or is it one individual? Is it one subconscious and one conscious mind? That's why I hooked it up so you can see the man in the mirror. Think about Michael Jackson's song, The Man in the Mirror. What are you doing? This is why we did this. The title is Ancient Lights because according to your concepts in Genesis, we were supposed to be lights to our nation, lights to our children. We're supposed to shine so that they can shine and help build up society. That was our destiny. This is what these religious books tell us. And yet we have not done this. We are ready to destroy. We're ready to tear each other down. Volume 2 shows you there's a little secret on the cover. It has the 12-pointed star. There's a reason why I have that 12-pointed star. But you have to look to the nation's capital to understand why I have this. In brick and in stone, the founding fathers put this thing together. They knew what they were doing. They were very enlightened. But if you don't study this, you won't understand. And for those who are Christian, I think you better consider the fact that I have 12 points here. I have 12 gates. And the New Jerusalem has 12 gates. So you need to think about what we're doing in this country. We need to think about how we're treating each other. You know, we have to build up ourselves first before you can create any urban renewal project. You gotta renew your mind.
Yes.
You gotta renew your personality. And we have to be honest with each other. And I'm gonna add this, Rick. I'm gonna add this, and I'm gonna let it go for now because I'm quite sure we're gonna have some more dialogue sometime in the future. They keep saying when something happens like the Mr. Floyd issue, they said you're bringing up old wounds. Old wounds, when are we going to get over this? When are we going to get? First of all, there were black slave masters that had white overseers. Some of them were more crueler than the white counterparts. Read the book. I come from John Hope Franklin's and Lawrence Swinage's book on this. Black officers and white officers. Jay Rogers spoke about the same thing. Black officers. Same thing. Nobody's listening. Everybody wants facts to be what they want them to be instead of talking about the real deal. Why do we have a gag rule? 1700s, a lot of our black entrepreneurs, they were listed as Fortune 500 companies by our standards, and yet our youth went down. Our youth went down. Now they talk about they can't get a job. Now they can't be creative. Something is terribly wrong with what we have been taught. And a lot of that white man beating up on us concepts, that comes out of the writers of the 70s. And what we're talking about here in these books, I talk about responsible journalism. I talk about reporting facts as they are, not what I want them to be, but as they are. And I got to go with what I have, the available documents. I'm not going to sway the facts to get along with anybody. I'm not going to sway that for a dollar because it's too important. I price my fellow man's trust in me, my descendants' trust in me, and my country's trust in me above all else. This is how we should do this. We have to stop this.
Here's the chance to get fact. If you read something, you don't agree with it, and you wonder, okay, is this Haywood and Christine, is this what they're thinking? You can go and find the source of that and find out exactly. Boy, the time has gone by so quickly. Both of the volumes are available, of course, at Amazon, the usual places. On the program today, specifically, we were talking about Ancient Lights, Volume 2, The Real Deal About the American Nation's Birth, How the Race Card Evil Infiltrated and Undermined the American Government. Christine and Haywood Isaac are the authors, the co-authors of the book. Haywood has been with us on the program. Haywood, I do hope we have this chance to continue this discussion. Boy, so much to talk about, so much history, and we need to know that foundation to figure out who we are now, where we go from here. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for being with us on the show.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you, America, for having me.
It is our pleasure. The book is Ancient Lights, Volume 2. You can check that out at Amazon. Christine and Haywood Isaac, right there on the T-shirt. We're back on today. Back on today's program right after these messages. Don't go away.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.